Hi, I'm Amina Akhtar, Head of Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at Social Work England. Welcome to This is Social Work, a podcast from the Specialist Regulator for Social Workers, Social Work England. Equality, diversity and inclusion are central to our work as an effective regulator and employer. They are inherent in our values, which are to be fearless, independent, transparent, ambitious, collaborative, and to act with integrity. As part of our Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Action Plan, we made a commitment to better understand the social work profession. We're doing this by actively seeking diversity data from social workers on our register, to continue to ensure our processes are fair, and to set a benchmark for further insight. To support this work, and following a successful first podcast season, these special podcast episodes will focus on diversity data collection. In this episode, I'm joined by Duke Tran, co-chair of the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Advisory Group for BASWA, the British Association of Social Workers, and Transformation Programme Manager at Brent Council. I'm also joined by my colleague Catherine Witt, Regional Engagement Lead for the North East and Humber at Social Work England. They share what collection of diversity data means to their organisations and outline its importance for the social work sector. We hope you enjoy. So, hello, Duke and Catherine. It's great to welcome you to have a discussion with me today about the collection of diversity data as part of our renewal process and really thinking about how important it is. So before we go any further, can I ask you to introduce yourselves? So I'll start with you, Catherine.
Hi, yes, I'm Catherine Witt and I am the Regional Engagement Lead for Social Work England in the northeast of England and also the Humber. I'm a social worker, I've been a social worker for 30 years I've got a real interest in equality and diversity and have been a champion in Social Work England. So it's really nice to be part of this podcast.
Thank you, Catherine. And Duke?
Hi, Amina. Thanks for inviting me. I'm the co-chair of the EDI Advisory Group for the British Association of Social Workers, and I've been a social worker for over 20 years. So equality and diversity and inclusion are part of my passion and interest.
Thank you. So I'm really pleased to have you here today. And we've talked about the importance of diversity data together in the past in various conversations. And we all know that for most of us, providing information about our characteristics has become commonplace. We often get asked for this data as part of applying for a job or a course, or when we register with a new service. But often I still hear questions about why we need this information, why it's really important, why it's necessary, what we're going to do with it, and does it actually really make a difference? So it feels really key for us to explore that today. And for Social Work England, collecting this data forms part of our commitment to enhance fairness, equality, diversity and inclusion across the profession. So today I want to start with asking you why you think it's important for social workers to share this data. So I'll start with you, Catherine.
Yeah, I think it is really important that we get this data. We want to be able to report and analyse from a really good, solid evidence base. To do that, obviously, we need the information. It's going to really help us build a much more accurate and detailed picture of the social work profession. And really sort of building, ensuring fairness in our processes and better understanding the impact of our policies, you know, such as the annual review of CPD, etc. So it's really important that we get this information just to provide that solid evidence base.
Thank you, Catherine. And Duke?
Yeah, pretty much on what Catherine was saying. I think it does offer us an opportunity to get a better understanding of the workforce, especially around the protected characteristics. This information can also help us to better understand our diversity and support in future research and service planning. And finally, I would say that it's an opportunity to for us to personally reflect on our identities and our place in a very diverse workplace. So, you know, it's a special opportunity, I think, to identify who we are clearly and to think about the other aspects of our identity and how that relates to other people as well.
Thank you, Duke. And in your role as the EDI advisory group chair at BASWA, I know we've had some conversations about the importance of this data, and actually it's something that the sector is really asking for. And actually we put a collective call to action from BASWA, from the unions, and from the directories of both children's and adult services, really showing their support for collecting this data. And again, for the reasons that you highlight, that it's useful for us to be able to improve the fairness of our processes, but actually it also means that other organisations and services are able to use that data to really ensure that their processes are fair and equitable as well. So thank you both. And over the past year, we've been asking social workers to record their diversity data to help us build a clearer understanding of the makeup of the register, as you both highlighted. And we really wanted to boost our response rate, and we've started to include these questions in our renewal process because that's where we get the greatest engagement. So I'd just like to ask you for your thoughts on including these questions as part of our renewal process. So I'll come to you first this time, Duke.
Yeah, I think it's it would be helpful, really, especially if this information has not been thought about or people have not had a chance to think about it before. However, I do think that it's really important that, that the process and the renewal questions are clear and supportive, you know, that it doesn't expose a lot of concerns and unnecessary distress as well. For instance, certain learning disabilities and mental health conditions have been hidden in the past because of the stigma associated with it. And I do feel that it's an opportunity here, you know, for people just to think about where they stand with these aspects of their identity. You know, and if they have any concerns, perhaps this is an opportunity in itself to start talking about it because it helps, doesn't it? To destigmatize, you know, these kinds of, you know, issues in the workforce.
Thanks, Duke. Really helpful. And I think it's always really challenging when we think about the ways in which we ask these questions. There's been quite a lot of thought. There are differences in the way that different organisations ask these questions. We do really like to regularly review, think about best practice. We're currently having conversations with other regulators and thinking about how we could learn from each other and the different approaches. And we are really keen to learn from the sector and things that they feel are helpful in asking these questions, and we want to increase some engagement around it. So Catherine will be able to talk a little bit more about the conversations that she and the other regional engagement leads have around some of this in the workshops that they run. So that's a nice segue to you, Catherine.
Yeah, and I think just having said it's part of the renewal process, and I think that is really important because it is about professional responsibility and, you know, having regard to that and being really aware of what we are collecting and why we're collecting it. So I think, you know, it feels for me as a social worker as very much part of my social work identity to embrace equality and diversity and to make sure that we've got the right information from the right people at the right time. And I think having spoken to people, you know, in the field, social workers, there is a real I couldn't say excitement, but a real sort of enthusiasm to get the right information so that we can have that data and that we can start evidencing some of the areas where there might be discrimination or where social workers might be impacted by inequality, you know, for example, in fitness to practice, so that we can have that information to hand. So yes, I do think that there is a general enthusiasm from social workers to be part of this and to provide that information.
Thanks, Catherine. And I think since we have included this information in our renewal process, we can gradually see the response rate increasing, which is really promising. And linked to that enthusiasm, I suppose I know that there are also some murmurs and some concerns around sharing this data. Why do you think social workers may be reluctant to share their data? So I'll come back to you on that one, Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, I think we get asked for a lot of information and we always want to sort of understand where that information is going. But I suppose we really want to reassure social workers that this information will be used sensitively and appropriately, and it won't affect their application to join the register, or it won't impact on any renewal process, and it certainly won't be considered within any fitness to practice process or complaints or proceedings. I mean, we have got very strict regulations around data, and it will be stored within an online account, and it can be shared or changed at any point. And there's lots of information on our website that can provide some reassurance. But we know from speaking to people with lived experience and to social workers, personal information is one of the most important things, and we need to treat it with high regard, with great sensitivity, and it needs to be used for the right purposes.
Thanks, Catherine. Lot of nodding from Duke there, so I'll come to, obviously, listeners, you can't see that, but I'm hoping that enthusiasm will come across. So over to you, Duke.
Definitely. I absolutely agree with what Catherine has said. I think it's really important that social workers need to know clearly that this information will be used sensitively in the correct way, and that it's not, and that by disclosing their personal information, it's not going to penalise them in terms of their practice. I think that's really key. Getting back to the question, really, why are they reluctant to share information? I think some of the information can really be sensitive, can really be distressing because of prior treatment or previous treatment, when people did disclose their information, not necessarily in the workforce or the workplace, but it could be, you know, in other parts of their life as well. So that's why there can be a sense of distress and anxiety around the disclosure of such information.
Thanks, Duke. And moving on to thinking about the long-term benefits of having this diversity data, as a professional regulator, having information about those we regulate is crucial, and collecting this information along with the other data that we collect will provide us with a fuller picture to help identify any issues and to address them, also by giving us an understanding of where social workers might face inequality or discrimination. And also, by publishing this information anonymously, we'll also really hope that the insight that we share will support other policymakers and leaders to think about their own processes and think about how they can ensure that they are equitable and inclusive too. So thinking about the long-term benefits then, how do you see the collection of diversity data helping the sector in the long run? So if I come to you first, Catherine, this time.
Yeah, just going off mute. I mean, good data and robust data has to be a good thing in the long term. That's what we base lots of decisions on. We can spot anecdotal things that and provide evidence to support that. We are ambitious as an organisation, and we're fearless, and we want to really tackle any discrimination or any inequalities that we in Social Work England are responsible for in terms of processes and policies, but also in the wider profession. And it's some of that basic demographics, so that we know our social work register, that we know who's there, what they are, and who they are, and that we can make appropriate decisions and invest in the profession as a result.
Thanks, Catherine. And I think talking about our wider commitment, I think we've really committed to undertaking a range of research And really try to be evidence-based in everything that we do. So on the website, there are quite a few pieces of research that you're able to access, some related to equality, diversity and inclusion, and others broader than that as well, but have some objectives included within that. And I think we're also a part of the anti-racism steering group. And actually, a lack of data has really acted as a barrier in progressing some of that work as well. So we have carried out an additional survey to support that work and use that research to start to formulate the beginning of a sector-wide action plan. But actually having more of this data would have actively supported that. And I think that really speaks to what you said earlier in one of your responses, Duke, about the importance of this data in research. So I will hand over to you on that note.
Definitely. This can only help the sector as a whole, really, and in fact, within the British Association of Social Workers. As the co-chair of the EDI Advisory Group, I've always been advocating for improved data collection and data quality around diversity, around the diversity of the association members. And more generally in the profession, that can only help us. For instance, we know from the COVID pandemic, which we're still recovering from, the disproportionate impact, you know, the members from the Black and ethnic minority cohort has had because of the virus, and also the disproportionate representation in disciplinary and grievance processes. With Social Work England. And we're hearing that through our Social Work Union service as well. So clearly, you know, this type of information is really important to collect. But over the long run, I think it's important to have that long-term view. And by collecting this information, and hopefully, you know, with years to come, we would get a better understanding of how we fare and how we have improved in not in terms of collection of the data, but in fact, in terms of how we treat ourselves, whether, you know, this disproportionate representation, you know, have we filled the gaps? Have we developed those services that can actually help improve the outcomes for our social work members who are most vulnerable?
Thanks, Duke. And yes, we anecdotally, we are aware of the disproportionate number of referrals that we receive for social workers from Black and ethnic minority backgrounds and men. And that is something that we absolutely want to explore further, but it is difficult to be able to pursue that without this data. So absolutely, one of the drivers behind us wanting to collect this data. And linked to that question then, what are the implications of not having the data? What do you think we might lack more generally as a profession if we aren't able to collect this data? So I'll come to you, Catherine.
I think we lack knowledge and insight if we don't have it. We are working with anecdotal information, people's thoughts about things, and not based on evidence. We can't have serious conversations at a strategic level or even on an individual and personal level if we don't know the full facts. And the makeup of our register is one of the basic things that we need to know to have those sensible and insightful conversations. And if we want to improve as an organisation, which is absolutely what we want to do, and to reflect the full diversity of our workforce, then we need to have this information. It can only be a positive thing, and I think it will lead to much better decisions and much more considered development of Social Work England.
Thanks, Catherine. Duke?
Yes, I think certainly, there is a place for qualitative data and lived experience, and we do hear that. But I think the qualitative information can further enhance definitely with data, with the numbers supporting it. Particularly if we were to consider you know, making an impact at a service level or a larger scale impact. And that's what we should be aiming to achieve. So the personal information that people do disclose actually can have a collective impact as well. And I think that's where having that raw numbers, those raw numbers would really help.
Absolutely. And I think it is about that fuller picture, isn't it? So we really value having that qualitative information. And that's why we've invested so much in our regional engagement leads, and really thinking about having those one-to-one conversations, thinking more about the importance of exploring what's happening and being able to capture more of that nuance through those conversations and engagements. But equally, that on its own doesn't offer a rich enough picture. And I think you're absolutely right that having the data alongside some of that and the conversations that I have with colleagues like yourself and organisations like BASWA more broadly really support our understanding and insight around some of this. So to bring us to a close then, what is the most important thing you'd like people listening to take away from this discussion? So I'll come to you first this time, Duke.
I think in as much as I do believe that, you know, we need to disclose as much as we can, the reality is that it does come down to the individual person and their confidence as well, you know, where they're at in terms of disclosing their identity and how confident they are. Not everyone is the same. And I think with that in mind, I would say that it is personal information after all. And I would encourage people to take an opportunity to reflect critically about what they are sharing. And if there were any concerns whatsoever, then, you know, maybe perhaps this would be an opportunity to talk about it with their line managers, with their peers, because it's in that process that you start to discover and uncover more about, okay, what are those concerns and whether that's going to have any impact at all. And so what I would say, therefore, is that this is an opportunity for us to reflect about ourselves and our place in a quite a diverse workplace. So that's my message there.
Thanks, Duke. And I think, again, I think a good suggestion in terms of reflecting with peers and line managers, but I will also add to that that the regional engagement leads obviously each have an area and are very clear on the processes around data collection and our approach to equality, diversity and inclusion. So I'm also really happy to talk about any concerns that people might have as well. And at that point, I'm going to hand over to you, Catherine, for your closing thoughts.
Yeah. My closing thoughts, this is about improving what we do in Social Work England. And for me, it really reflects what social work is, which is about equality, diversity and inclusion. And it is a real opportunity to demonstrate our values in Social Work England, to be fearless, independent, transparent, ambitious, collaborative and act with integrity. And that's really important to me as a social worker, but it's really important to Social Work England. So that's what I'd like people to take away. And also just very finally, is that we will treat this information really with respect and regard and with sensitivity, and just to reassure people, you know, that it will be in safe hands and it will be used for improvement and doing things better.
Thanks, Catherine. So social work is a unique profession because it has a profound impact on those who encounter it. And I see a huge amount of passion and motivation to make the profession better. I think every day, and prior to this role, I was a regional engagement lead and had the pleasure of talking to lots of social workers and seeing that passion in practice all of the time. And I still do that in a different capacity within this role. And I think one of the things that I'm really clear on is so many social workers really want the profession to be the best that it can be. And I really think that by providing your diversity data, you'll help us to ensure that. You'll help us to ensure the fairness of our processes for social workers and support us to build a better picture of the profession. And again, as I said earlier, I think there's also something really important about the fact that there's a call to the sector from the sector. And there's something about really highlighting the fact that this is going to be beneficial for us as an organisation, but for so many organisations as well, because it will support their leaders and decision makers to think about their processes and the fairness and equability of their processes as well. So, my final thought then is please log into your account today and consider sharing your data. Appreciate, as Duke said, and we've acknowledged that there is a sensitivity around the data, but if you could just consider where you do feel comfortable sharing that, then we'd really value it if you could share that with us. So thank you to Catherine and Duke for joining me today and talking about the importance of data. Thanks again to Duke and Catherine for joining me today. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to continue the conversation with us, you can follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn using the hashtag ThisIsSocialWorkPod to share your thoughts. You can find out more about the collection of diversity data on our website. Join us for our next episode, where I'll be talking to social workers Amina and Andrea to get their personal perspectives on the topic of diversity data. See you soon.